that car, there's another double parked car. So I'm standing behind the car that's next to the curb, and there's another double parked car. And a woman drives up, and she's wanting a parking place. And she's honking at us, and especially this car that's double parked, shooing us with an upward flick of her downward turned hands and fingers. I make fun of her to my unknown conversation partner, who's a guy standing there, saying she's a pushy bitch, you know. She expects everybody just to get out of her way. She's driving, "Man, get out of my way, I want to park in here." And I'm saying she's just a pushy bitch, she wants us. She thinks that we're going to get out of her way just because she's driving up there and we're supposed to pay attention to her. And then she pulls around and gets a parking place. I'm surprised at her attitude. I think she thinks that anyone should immediately be obligated to do what she wants. In the dream, I was noticing, "Hey, get out of my way, I'm driving up. Hey, get out of my way, I want to park here," like that. I imagine she's exercising some societal obligations to help people keep in line who are standing and taking up the roadway. She's trying to help people get in line, you know, and do what we're supposed to do. It reminds me of one time when I went down to Juarez, Mexico, in the early 90s, 93, and was coming up onto a car. You're driving along the street, and there's a damn car parked right in the middle of the damn roadway. And its doors are open. The people got out of the car and went in this house, and they left the fucking doors open like that.
And there's no room to even drive around in.
No. Stopped in the middle of the road while the driver went into the house, not even having pulled over. I imagined he was socially retarded. Generalizing it onto his society, thinking these Mexicans are all fucking socially retarded. They drive down the road and they just want to go in the house and talk to somebody. They just stop. They don't pull over. They just stop and get out of the car and open the fucking door. And this is all my imagination, though, see. Now I see the woman could have been reminding us of our social upbringing. Something to think about. Because we're double parked in the roadway, and standing out in the roadway, and there are people who are coming, and they need to move, and they need to keep their vehicles moving, and we're all standing there and making it impossible for the thing to go.
But you're irritated at her.
I just am. Yeah, I'm feeling like she is expecting. She's a pretty pushy bitch, you know.
Yeah. But I wonder if she did have a valid thing to say.
Right? Well,
there was something about her that made sense.
Yeah. See, if we go into this thing the same way we went into your dream,
yeah,
with Kim,
yeah,
when this woman is saying "get out of the way," and I'm making fun of her, like, who the hell does she think she is? She
yeah,
expects everybody.
That's your reaction,
right?
Yeah.
And so, what's the response, right? The other question is, what's the response? Dom, do you see that you're learning how to do this?
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. The response, it's the same. Well, it's different than the reaction.
The response is a response to the intuition. Reaction is a reaction.
yeah.
against being in the infinitesimal, okay. which I can't remember what that was like.
Right, and the response is the infinitesimal, and the place in the dream where she came up and started motioning and talking right before that. Mm-hmm. What did you think about her?
I'm thinking that this woman is a godsend. You know, she's somebody who's coming along and helping us to get into line and to be moving with the reality to help things to continue. Yeah.
And she's a beautiful person.
Yeah, she's not an old hag who's going, hey, get out of here, hey, get out of my way. Now she's a beautiful woman.
Keeping the flow of life going.
And I can see that she's coming along and I can think, oh my God, look how gorgeous she is. And she's driving and there's all this blockage. Let's clear it all up for her. Yeah, I'm gonna clear it all up for her. Wow, this is amazing. I can feel it all the way out into the tips of my fingers.
When I look at your head, your whole arm is yellow.
Yeah.
Just that side.
I just had an experience of it. You know how beautiful, what's that woman in the movie last night?
Oh, Sharon Stone.
You know how beautiful Sharon Stone can be when she makes an appearance of a creative person?
Yeah.
You know how beautiful she looked in the movie when she was taking care of all those people and moving through the casino in this way?
Yeah.
And how terrible she looked when she was this drugged drunk?
Yeah, locked in her concepts.
Yeah, how terrible she looked. She's not attractive at all anymore.
No.
Anyway, this woman in the car is 100 times more beautiful than Sharon Stone when she was in that thing, and she's somebody who really needs to be taken care of, and I need to, let's get all these cars out of the way for her so that she can move, and she doesn't have to say anything to us.
So, the woman, does the woman represent your intuition, even though she's from the emotional mind?
Well, this woman is an old hag, so she's a governor symbol. But she changes into a peer.
Oh.
She changes into an emotional mind symbol.
So you don't have to be restricted by, it doesn't have to be the symbol of like a man for a man and a woman for a woman. It could be the opposite.
Right, yeah. What would it be like if it were a man? What would it be like if it were, Alro used to say to us, well, what would that book be like if it were a typewriter?
Oh.
You know, because in other sequences, it appears as all these other things. In other sequences.
Right.
It's the same theme.
Right.
Coming in many different sequences, and so he learned that this in that sequence was that, and so he could ask these questions because you did experience that in your dream.
So sequences in a dream over a period of one night, they're similar.
Right. The problem, turning point, solution. Problem, turning point, solution. And when you got into the solution of the last one, you're seeing Ron Butler revealing all of these ideas.
Yeah.
And these ideas are also beautiful, and so.
Yeah. Opening up, I mean, being released, that's exactly it, that I have to make money. That's my constricting concept.
Right. And when you look at him revealing all these ideas, and you think about this concept, I have to make money, what is that concept? What do you look like holding that concept?
Yeah. Like me not holding it anymore. It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be? Or what? How, what's another way of saying it?
That that I could make money or not, it doesn't matter.
But with all of these ideas, all of these ideas inside of you, what's going to happen?
That I will make money. Yeah.
But that isn't the real point. The real point is to be the landlord.
Is to be freed, like Ron Butler.
Yeah, you don't have to be thinking about, oh my God, I got to do this to make money. I got to do that to make money. I'm making so many dollars an hour doing this. I'm still making so many dollars an hour doing that.
Yes.
And you're thinking of yourself in terms of how much money your actions are producing.
Right, which is very limiting.
Which is harmful.
It is, especially, you know, when you have to make money with your hands. It is very harmful. It's very restricting.
Thanks for inviting me to get into this one.
Yeah. I know, you know, I can't elaborate like you do. But it's very interesting. I mean, when Ram Dass said, when you know that play that was happening between Melanie and Ram Dass, like she asked
him, you see how bad she was?
Boy, did she feel offended.
She was really.
Ram Dass, that's how inward she was in her own identity type, because Ram Dass, here's what I felt. When she said that, and then Ram Dass said something about Guru Mai, and I looked outside and I felt a wave of Guru Mai, like a wave of feelings about her came over me.
And Melanie reacted against that. She had to feel it too.
Yeah.
And she had a reaction against it.
Right. And it came from him, you know, because he was in there. He was in that space when he elicited Guru Mai, and I felt it. Right when he said that, I could feel Guru Mai's mind coming in.
Wow.
Just a wave of it. It's everywhere. When you think of love, that's the Guru.
Yeah.
Just thoughts of love, you know.
Yes.
When you really feel it inside, when you think Guru Mai, you draw her to you.
That's, yes, thank you for that. That's exactly the truth.
Yeah.
And one day I was talking with this young woman who I was kind of flirting with. We were in the Amrit, we were in the dining hall, and this was back in the days when the dining hall was in Anugraha. And you know that long hallway that goes up to the temple, where they built the bookstore there? That all used to be dining hall. And we were sitting in the part of the dining hall where the bookstore was at the end, way up there.
Jeez.
And we were the only two people in the dining hall except for Swami Kripananda. And Swami Kripananda was sitting at the table right where the doorway is. You know, you come in the front of the dining hall down by Guru Mai's house, and walk all the way up there, and then you turn to the right, and there's a doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting up here even further. And I'm talking about my love for Guru Mai. She's talking about her experiences of Guru Mai and how she loves her, you know. Pretty soon here comes Guru Mai walking in the damn place. And so she walked up and she stopped talking. She smiled at us and turned and walked out the side. And Swami Kripananda turned to us and said, see, you were experiencing so much love for her and she has no resistance to that. She has to come. She came because of the love that you two were sharing for her. That's what Kripananda said.
Wow.
And then we knew. We didn't know that before she said that.
Yeah.
We didn't know that that was the cause.
Right. And her expanded universal state is very subtle, you know. But I think when you think of her in a loving way, and even not loving, when you think of her, something happens outside. There's always an acknowledgement.
Yeah, I know what I know. And I agree with you too. Such an amazing thing to live by a guru like that.
How lucky we are to have a
guru.
All those experiences, man, you don't even know what their value is. But I remember this one lecture about Krishna's talking to Arjuna, and it's about all the practices that you do, that even though you don't know, God never forgets them. And there's always a result of those practices God remembers.
Yes, and that no effort on the path is ever lost.
Right.
But it's always an accumulation.
It's so hopeful, isn't it?
Absolutely. It gives you hope for eternal life.
Yeah, that there is no such thing as death.
You realize that if that's true, which you accept that it is true, that they're promising you immortal life. And that's what Guru Mike always did for us also, was made us aware that we are participating in life eternal. It's going to be on Thursday
night.
Starts at 7:30.
Depends, I mean,
but if you went there from 7:30 till 8:30, and then came home and went to bed,
that would probably be okay, wouldn't it?
If you're home at that time of the day,
right?
If you're awake,
get to bed right away.
Right.
Once I go there, I'm okay.
Tom, she's a big asshole.
I know.
But you know one thing I like about him? He's got that multi-million-dollar house up there.
Yeah.
And he hasn't paid his mortgage for 2 fucking years. And he's still in there. I think that is so fabulous. And you know what? They'll never be able to sell that goddamn place to anybody. And who knows? The sheriff might never evict him.
Who's paying the taxes?
Well, if the taxes are being paid, I'm sure that he's the one who's paying them. It could be the bank. It's Bank America. Bank of America. It could be that they will pay them short of being foreclosed upon.
Right. I'll stop.